This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
I said this about 25 minutes ago. One of my absolute favorite followers, not followers, follows, although I guess he follows me too. We DM all the time. On Twitter, Travis Hancock, at T-Bone WFNZ from the Mac Attack Show in Charlotte. Travis Hancock is a fun follow on Twitter, even if you don't care about sports. He is a fun follow on Twitter, and we're going to talk about the Panthers. Before we get to that, first of all, did you change your name?
First of all, good afternoon, Adam. Thanks for having me. Yeah, Robbie Anderson changed the spelling of his now to Robbie with an IE because it's a different year, different Robbie. So I'm now Travie Hancock. I'm T-R-A-V-I-E. It's a different year, different me. So to respect Robbie Anderson's wishes, and he's got a lot of wishes, apparently, I'm now Travie Hancock. I feel better about myself doing this.
I like it. Maybe you've grown. Maybe you're taller. Who knows? Whatever gets you through the night. Do you want to talk about Ethan Bear first, or do you want to get – never mind, just kidding.
I was saving that for the end. If there's enough time, I've got a lot of thoughts on Bear. I don't want to interrupt your show with that stuff.
I'm totally sure. I do as well. I'm saving it for a podcast. All right, so who's in the lead? Is it Sam Darnold, who talked trash to the defense, or is it Baker Mayfield?
Yeah, first of all, I'm curious to know exactly what Sam Darnold trash talk even resembles. I said this on your show a year ago, and we talked about it. I am a Jets fan, so this is my fifth camp with Sam Darnold, and I'm not sure. I'm done with him, first of all, in terms of having to, either as a fan or a cover.
Right.
I've kind of had enough. I don't really know exactly what that trash talk would – I'm interested to know what it is. But, no, it feels like – we're not down there live yet for our show because of our morning hours. We're down there tomorrow and Wednesday for the first time. But it feels like Sam has kind of been in the lead, and maybe not unexpected because Baker's new to the offense. He's got to get acclimated to the new wide receivers. And we've seen this before. Actually, in the fans' eyes, Matt Corral is the darling so far.
Sure.
of the quarterbacks, but rookie quarterback and, the young kid, that happens. But we've seen this before with Sam. He goes out there and he looks all right. He did it last year in camp, did it with the Jets. He looks okay. He looks the part. He's throwing well. He's confident. But we know once the pads go on, like they did today, and it gets harder and more difficult and the guys are coming at him for real, Sam has the ability to melt rather quickly. So Sam can have the lead all he wants to right now, but we've seen it before. And when things get really real, we know that ultimately that Baker probably should be the guy because Sam hasn't shown the ability to take control when it matters most.
It's funny. Travis Hancock, or Travie Hancock, is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. Right after the trade was made, a buddy of mine who actually used to produce this show is a producer up at ESPN and got me to go on their afternoon show to talk about it. And what are the odds that Baker Mayfield is the starting quarterback? I'm like, the bar ain't high. If Baker Mayfield through three preseason games cannot eclipse Sam Darnold, then that's on Baker Mayfield. So I used to be a Jets fan. I'm a recovering Jets fan, Travie. Here's my take on Sam is that he doesn't really like to push it. He's kind of too conservative to be this average. If you're going to be this average, at least take some shots down the field. Learn from Daniel Jones, who's not afraid to make thousands of mistakes because he does all the time. Darnold plays it too safe. I think Baker is a better version of Darnold. I think he's the better player. I don't think he's awesome. Is that a good read of Baker?
Absolutely. I don't think when we look at Sam Darnold in his first 4 years, letting it rip, is the description you have for him. He plays conservative, and then he holds on to the ball, and once the pressure gets to him, he wilts under that pressure. Here's the other thing, too, with all that you're saying. You never, as a coach or organization, want to do stuff just to placate the fans. We understand that. And we don't know fully What is the hot seat for Matt Rhule? David Tepper have him on the hot seat? I don't think so. But in the fans' eyes, he's enemy number one, public enemy number one, no doubt about it. So if you go into the season and you face the Cleveland Browns in week number one, you've got a caged lion in Baker Mayfield chomping at the bit to go after them, to get the fans involved in that stadium. Could you really, truthfully say, you know what? Darnold outdueled Baker in camp. He's the guy for week number one. How in the world could you sell that? Yeah. And if things go awry, they're going to boo Sam Darnold immediately. So you're probably going to have to turn to Baker not long after that. Why would you, when you play the Browns week number one, want to not play Baker Mayfield with all the pent-up aggression he's going to have for that game?
Yeah, we're going to get to another player here in a second, but just a couple of real quick things based on what you just said. 100% agree with you on the perception of Matt Rhule being on the hot seat, because they asked me that question also on that interview, and I'm like, I don't know. I mean, they could have a bad year, and it might not be his fault. And they could have a good year, and we could obviously watch the team and go, yeah, he ain't the guy. So they could be better with somebody else. So I think the fans' and media perception of hot seat is different than the owner. Here's the other thing I think about Baker. Whether or not he's great doesn't matter as much. He carries himself as a number one quarterback, probably better than his ability. Sam Darnold doesn't. There's no presence with Sam Darnold, and Baker very much has one.
You are 1,000% right. We talked about this in the lead up to the, you know, we had talked forever about, do we want Baker Mayfield? And it ebbed and flowed, depending on, you know, we went through this quarterback search, it seems like forever, and still might be going on. We'll see, to your point, we'll see after this year. But the one thing you can say, the major difference is, we're not in the huddle. We're not in the locker room, per se. But you don't get the sense that Sam Darnold commands a huddle.
No.
That Sam Darnold walks into a huddle and those guys look at him and they believe. For the good and bad of Baker Mayfield, he instills a belief because the way he plays and the respect that – they respect the way he plays the game with that energy, with that swagger. He even talks to the media here like a number one quarterback. Yep. He doesn't speak at the podium like a guy that's just trying to get – with the difference in the way that Baker talks and Sam talks, two different people, and I'm not trying to, you know – annihilate the character of Sam Darnold, but they just command a different respect and a different level of trust. And I think that's the main difference right there, to your point.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think Baker ultimately will be the starting quarterback, and I think it'll be in week one for many of the reasons that you cited. Travi Hancock at T-Bone WFNZ on Twitter.
That sounded better in my head when I thought about it. I'm not sure. We have to maybe adjust that back.
I'm not forgetting it, sir. J.C. Horn stepped on the field, finally. You talk about presence. I mean, we sort of forget that this kid played, what, two games last year, whatever it was, until suffering the season-ending injury. And, like, they are treating him like, oh, man, he's back. His practices must have been so great last year that this guy already feels like an established player.
Yeah, it was 2.5 games. He got hurt in week three on the turf in Houston. But, you know, Mac and I, my co-host here in Charlotte, you know, we get blamed a lot for hyping people up. I tell you, though, the hype for him, it's not just coming from us. It's people in that building at the highest level, from decision makers to coaches. They all believe that he is legitimately that shutdown number one corner. And, yeah, it's a little scary that he had to go on the pup list last week already, back today. Although he sat out some drills, yeah, they're going to be extra careful with him because, you know, if he's out there and he's playing at the level he played with, although just 2.5 games, he takes them from a good defense to a potentially great defense, because with Jeremy Chinn back there at safety, Dante Jackson's really growing on the other side as another corner over there as a leader and as a player. If he's out there, man, that secondary, whew, it could be really special, and it's going to have to be because they lost Hassan Reddick up front. The other edge rusher opposite Brian Burns is really a spot that we're monitoring here of who can step up. And the linebackers outside of Shaq Thompson, who's also on the pup list right now with knee surgery, outside of Shaq Thompson, there's not a lot of depth behind him. So the secondary, really the heart and soul of the defense, and I think a lot of that depends on the health of J.C. Horn. He's an absolute physical freak.
Yep.
And we're all excited, and just hopefully that this, you know, when it comes to the foot injuries, as you know, it's a scary thing. We saw with Greg Olsen later on in his career, but it seems like when there's one foot injury, you know, there's always another one around the corner, and that's really the kind of fear we have.
Now, hopefully he'll be okay, because if you have a shutdown corner, it makes so many other things on your defense so much easier. So we'll close on this. There are positions of real interest for the Panthers. We've got left tackle with Ike Ekwonu. That'll work itself out. Does look like Brady Christensen is progressing really well, to where if Ekwonu is not ready to be the left tackle, Christensen could man that spot. Maybe Ekwonu starts inside, but ultimately I think they're better if they flip. But what about Derrick Brown in the middle of the defensive line? Because I get the sense that really is the key to this team defensively.
Yeah, you know, he ended the year on a really good note. He got benched against the Dolphins in that horrific loss down there, where he, on the plane, Matt Rhule had a conversation with him and told him that he's got to step up. And really, the last, however many games it was, three, four, five games, he really took it to another level. But you're right, we focus on the edge rushers, but that interior run defense was a big problem last year as well. They got Matt Ioannidis, another guy from Washington, to play next to him now. But Derrick Brown, you know, it's what is he going to be? A good player, which he has been at times? Or can he elevate to a great player and kind of play where he was? Can he play up to the level where he was picked, which was the seventh pick in the draft? You know, we're not sure yet. But again, much like J.C. Horn and what we talked about and how he elevates his defense to another level, if Derrick Brown goes from just good to great at times, what does that do for Brian Burns and the other edge rusher? So you're exactly right. I've brought it up numerous times. Kind of a guy we don't really talk about a whole lot here. Even in Charlotte, it's kind of, you know, it's not the sexiest spot there necessarily to talk about. But, you know, I'm interested to see. He's got great leadership skills.
Yep.
There's no doubt about that. He's got that part down. It's just a matter of, can he consistently, game in, game out, play like he did end of last year? And hopefully that benching against Miami really rattled him, and it did last year. Now, does that carry over? A very intriguing guy to monitor, especially early in the season.
Travi Hancock at T-Bone WFNZ. You know what? Maybe by the next time we talk, I'll go back to Travis, but for right now, I kind of like Travis. It's training camp. We're trying all sorts of new things, and we ran out of time. We don't have time to talk about Ethan Bear.
Nah, next time, you know what? Next time, get me on. It'll be all Hurricanes. I'm prepared for it all.
It's just going to be 12 minutes of Ethan Bear. Travis, I appreciate your time, my man. I'll talk to you soon.
Anytime, guys. I appreciate you. Have a good day.
You got it. Travis Hancock. Fun to chat with Travis. Adam Gold in studio with my friend Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, how does longevity risk figure into our retirement and income plan?
This is the best of times and the worst of times, Adam. The longevity risk means we're going to live too long. But to me, every day I live is not too long.
Right, absolutely.
Good. So we want our money to outlive us. And unfortunately, many people I've seen, you out there listening, maybe one of them, your money is not designed to outlive you. You might outlive your money, and that's not what we want to have happen. Because when we get to that day after you run out of money, it's not going to be a fun time. So let's design a plan that guarantees you'll never run out of money. We call it the GPI plan, Growth Protection Lifetime Income. For the next 10 people, this is a golden ticket, Adam. $1,000 value, we're going to do it at no cost or obligation.
And all you have to do is call. We make it so easy. Would you like financial independence into your retirement and beyond it? 800-661-7383. That golden ticket is a $1,000 value, or you could text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter. Before we get to a profile of the city of Tampa, as we continue our preview of the entire NFL, although not necessarily football, like you might want to visit, you might want to go with the Panthers down to the game in Tampa when they play the Buccaneers down there. So, you need things to know about. We'll give you that. But when we're done with that, we'll chat with Steve Politti from NJ.com, New Jersey Advanced Media, because the LIV Golf Tour was in town, in his neck of the woods. at Bedminster, about 50 miles from New York City, about 50 miles due, or about an hour due west of New York City. And we'll talk to him about the experience. He followed Phil Mickelson, wrote about the Mickelson experience on Friday anyway. So we got a lot of things to talk about with Steve Politi. But until we get to that point, it's time to preview Tampa.
All right. First of all,
I got some feedback on the Candlewick Diner.
Oh, really?
From last week.
Okay.
Not to mention Indianapolis.
Okay.
So we talked to our friends over at the Mix 101.5 morning show here.
Mm-hmm.
They're from Indy, but Indy's a great spot. The Candlewick Diner. The menu's too long. I don't even know how you do that.
Yeah.
They have like 12 pages on a menu. It's awesome.
Sounds delicious.
Yeah, it does.
By the way, another fun fact about Indy before we get to Tampa Bay. Elvis's last concert was in Indy.
Whoa.
Yeah. Fun fact.
Now the end is near.
Now, there are a lot of different
things.
No, you're totally fine. A lot of things to explore. First of all, a good place to stay in Tampa. You can stay at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino.
Really? That's what Tampa has to sell?
Well, I mean, that's just a place for you to stay.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, but there are a lot of Hard Rock Hotel and Casinos.
Yeah, but you can stay at one in Tampa.
Oh, okay. Well, I can't dispute that.
Exactly.
I can't dispute that.
I mean, come on. You don't want to, you know, eat a buffet breakfast and pull some slots? Because why not?
I wonder why how not? Many there are.
That's a great question.
Hard Rock. Oh, gosh.
Quite a few.
A lot.
There are quite a few. But there's one in Tampa that you can stay at. And a lot of things that you can do as different activities, I guess you could say. For example, you want to take a stroll down the Tampa River Walk. It's a 2.6-mile walk. Again, the River Walk. If you want to get outdoors a little bit, make sure you have some sunscreen with you. If you don't want to get to the beach and just, you know, stretch the legs a little bit. While you're out and about, go check out the Florida Aquarium.
Florida Aquarium, very nice.
Which I hear is actually really, really nice. Go check out the Florida Aquarium.
Florida should have a great aquarium.
Yeah.
Right? It sticks out all the way out into the ocean.
Exactly.
And the Gulf, there's ocean everywhere in Florida. So, yeah, it should have great. Should have a great aquarium.
Also, for some nighttime entertainment, make sure you head out to the Tampa Theater. Right? You can either catch a show or a movie there at the Tampa Theater.
The Tampa Theater, okay, very nice.
Opened in 1926.
Did it?
Yes.
The Tampa Theater.
And it's a nonprofit theater as well.
Oh, okay, so movies? Are we talking about movies?
Yeah, you can do some movies, occasionally some shows and plays, things along those lines. So it's a nonprofit theater, but again, built in 1926, pretty cool architecture and such in there. By the way, this Sunday they're showing Blazing Saddles.
Oh my gosh, we gotta go.
Yeah, I'm in. Let's go. Let's take a trip.
Somebody's gotta go back and get a load of dimes. Sorry. Slim pickings.
Also, feel free to check out the, we'll call it the Tampa Ballet.
Oh,
famous down there.
Very famous for their ballet.
Yeah, the Tampa Ballet.
Their production of the Nutcracker.
Yes.
Very good. Yeah.
Check out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go check that out.
Make sure the kids are.
Yeah, safe. No. Get a babysitter.
Yeah,
get a sitter.
Need a
don't
sitter.
Don't think you're gonna bring culture to the kids.
No.
The kids don't want to go. Leave the kids at home.
Not that age.
No.
They're not ready for that.
Just
yet.
Leave the kids at home.
If you want a good Cuban sandwich,
West
Tampa Sandwich Shop. Open from 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. All they do is breakfast and sandwiches.
And Cuban sandwiches.
Cubans are their go-to.
All right, well.
Cubans are the
they
go-to
should be.
There.
Tampa's notorious for having great Cuban sandwiches.
Yes. But also, apparently, their breakfast is fantastic
okay.
as well.
I like that.
But again, 6 a.m.
Do we have a Cuban breakfast?
I don't know. Do we?
I'm sure there's a breakfast version of a Cuban sandwich.
I'm sure.
A breakfast Cuban? Okay.
You can't find a place here in Raleigh that does a great Cuban sandwich. I know actually a great Cuban sandwich spot whenever we touch on New Orleans, whenever we visit there. The Butcher in New Orleans.
Okay.
Had that when I was down there in the Final Four. Fantastic. Absolutely great.
I had I'm trying to remember the place I was at. I had a muffaletta. You ever have one of those?
Can't say I have.
Traditional New Orleans sandwichy thing.
Okay.
To me, it was more of a giant hunk of bread.
I'm for that.
With... like all sorts of marinated, cured meats, salami, ham, things like that.
Go on.
On top of it.
Go on.
Very good, but very a lot.
And?
Okay. Again.
lot of bread, a lot of cured meats all stuck together.
All good
yeah,
points.
Where can I have this?
All good points.
I need more of this.
It's much better. Much more worth it than the beignet.
Okay.
Which is just a funnel cake, people.
And it's also delicious.
It's delicious, but it's just a funnel cake.
Very, very good.
And the coffee's trash at Cafe Du Monde, but that's good.
Hey, we're not in New Orleans. We're in Tampa
We're in Tampa right now. 100% correct.
But you can check out Nicola's Donuts while you're there as well. Hand-making donuts for three decades.
All right. It's not quite, from, what was the first donut shop we did?
Jack Frost Donuts from 1937 up in Cleveland?
Three decades is like 21 years.
Well, here's the thing. I was looking at a lot of the good ones are over in St. Pete's and some other places
St. Pete. Look, Tampa, St. Pete, you think it's the same area?
It's not.
They're 40 minutes away.
It's like Raleigh and Durham,
no,
people.
No, it's not. It's worse.
It's way further.
Not to mention the fact that Tampa and St. Pete are separated by a freaking body of water.
Yeah.
When I went to the Final Four in 99, it was in St. Pete, right? It was in St. Petersburg. That's where...
St. Pete times four?
Where is Tropicana Field? St. Petersburg.
Yeah.
Right? That's where That's where the Final Four was played. Everybody stayed in Tampa.
Stooges.
It took forever. Forever. I might have it flipped. I'm pretty sure I'm right. I think Tropicana Field is in St. Pete. It's just the worst.
By the way, Raymond James Stadium is actually in Tampa proper.
Yes, it is. As
Hence
is
why
this
we're discussing the Tampa.
Well, it's not even. It's called Emily Arena now, where the Lightning play.
Yeah,
Emily Arena.
Well, I'm talking about the Bucks.
Right, but it's also in Tampa. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I went to an ACC tournament in Tampa, the men's basketball tournament.
Okay,
which was. Unfortunately for a lot of people, sort of, hey, there's a tournament here. Mm-hmm. Because it wasn't like the city really embraced it. But it was a very good basketball tournament.
Talking about Brooklyn?
No, exactly, right? But the area that was in, which is now built up a lot more than it was then, was a very cool soundside area with restaurants and bars kind of looking out over into the water. Good spot. I like Tampa. I'd go back to Tampa.
Okay.
My endorsement. My endorsement.
Yeah, you can get Nicola's Donuts, by the way.
Hard Rock Hotel Casino, Atlantic City, Biloxi, Bristol, Virginia.
Yeah.
Cincinnati, Daytona Beach. Lake Tahoe, that's nice.
There you go.
New York. I bet that's a 5-star. Northern Indiana. We don't even have a city. We're just in Northern Indiana.
Just controlling the whole state.
Gosh.
Some South Bend, Gary, the whole
Rockford,
place.
Rockford, Illinois.
Oh, there you go.
Exactly. I have nothing else to add, Your Honor.
All right. Tomorrow, we're doing Jacksonville. But to tease for Wednesday, as I pull out of my Dunkin' Donuts cup, the only thing it's good for. And next, we have... On Wednesday, we will have... The Cardinals.
Oh, we're going to Phoenix.
Yes.
Actually, we're going to Glendale.
Yeah, we're going to Glendale.
Not quite in Phoenix.
Yeah, we're going to Glendale.
We're going to Glendale, which I have stories. I have stories about Glendale. All right. We're going to go home for me, sort of.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcast.
A couple of weeks ago, we were talking about Nutley High School, where I graduated high school, class of 1984. Somebody who is far younger than I, Steve Politti with NJ.com, the old Newark Star-Ledger. I don't even know if it's still called the Star-Ledger, I think. He also graduated from Nutley High School, but after I did, because he's younger. I think I graduated with your brother, Steve. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Adam. Yes, good to hear from the old Nutley. Nutley's still there, you'd be happy to know.
It is. I'm glad. I'm glad we can have discussions about did they put luxury boxes in the Oval yet or not, but that's another story for another time. You had the occasion to head out to Bedminster, New Jersey, the nice little enclave in Somerset County, to cover the LIV Golf event. I am curious. I read your story about Phil Mickelson getting heckled on Friday. I am curious your experience out at Bedminster. What were your thoughts on what you saw?
Yeah, you know, I was really interested to see what it was going to be like because there's been so much attention and so much, I mean, for good or bad, controversy still is publicity.
Yeah.
About the thing that I honestly thought there would just be a lot of curiosity and there'd be a lot of people there. I was wrong. You know, there were only a few thousand people, and you spread a few thousand people across a 500-acre golf course, which Trump Bedminster is. I mean, you know, there were just a lot of holes where it felt like you were watching a Hooters tour event. And I made the one line, at least Hooters treats women better than the LIV Golf sponsors do.
So
that's the problem with the – yeah. It just wasn't – I mean, you know, they play music. It was a lot of, you know, it's a lot of noise, but – for the most part, when you get away from guys like Dustin Johnson and Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka, I mean, there are a lot of nobodies out there playing golf that, I mean, I couldn't have identified. You put them a line in front of me, I couldn't have picked them out. I doubt most casual fans certainly couldn't. I get the sense that there's a lot of noise, and, you know, it certainly did not live up to its hype that it was some new edgy thing that was going to change the face of golf.
Steve Politti from NJ.com is joining us here on The Adam Gold Show. That's the thing that has gotten me about this, and I don't know how much of this part of the story you have followed, covered, even leading up to the event at Bedminster, but there seems to be this perception that because we recognize, two-thirds of the field even, there's clearly a lot of guys that nobody has any idea who they are, but because we recognize some names from our past, like Henrik Stenson, who happened to win this week, or Sergio Garcia. These guys haven't really been good players, really good players on tour for a few years now. That the tour is actually better than it is, but for the most part, like even the younger players have either don't have name recognition or they're there for a reason, like Koepka's been hurt and DeChambeau's been hurt or Matthew Wolf hasn't played well in 3 years, things like that.
Yeah, and that Stenson, you know, they signed him for $40 million, and I'm convinced they did it just for the headline that he had to relinquish his European team captaincy in the Ryder Cup. You know, he hadn't finished in the top 10 since 2018. I mean, This is a guy who was completely irrelevant in golf, essentially. He's 46 years old, near the end of his career, you know. So, of course, he's going to sign up and get the payday and deal with the hard questions for a few days. And, you know, certainly he did cash in, he had $4 million for winning that. That's great. But it certainly was not, it's not a great field, you know, and some of the guys, they were like, Phil Mickelson can't play. That's the other part of this that's getting ignored. I mean, he's been terrible since this thing started. I watched him play, you know, for a few holes on Friday, the first round. And I mean, you know, he looked disinterested out there. The best way you can describe it, three putted a couple greens where when he had good birdie opportunities. And you have to wonder, all right, so he's in his early 50s now, clearly on the time when you would stop being competitive at the PGA Tour. They're paying him $200 million, whatever the hell it is, just for his name to be on the leaderboard because he was not a factor.
And I'm not even sure, and I think you might have even written about this. I'm not even sure Phil is having fun doing this.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he's in his element when he's around fans. So there are clearly fans there in spite of the guy who heckled Phil do it for the Saudi royal family, which I'm sorry I laughed. But
it's a good line.
It's a great line.
It's a good line.
And the whole thing was set up because I saw the video and I think you actually tweeted out the video. That's how I saw it, was for people wondering who did that. It was this guy. But he doesn't seem to be really enjoying himself except when the check's clear.
Right. Yeah. And you have to put it in the context too. This is a guy when he came to our neck of the woods, I mean, certainly he was popular everywhere, but you know, New Jersey, New York had really adopted him as its own. He won the PGA championship, his second major at the time, and Baltusrol, which is a famous New Jersey golf course. you know, the galleries of Bethpage when they had the majors there. I mean, really, like, it was the, you know, even the fact he's a native San Diegan, he was our guy up here. And certainly the crowd, of the heckling aside, was very positive for Phil, but it was just not the same level of galleries. I mean, there was no juice, there's no buzz, just, you know, probably a couple hundred people following him. Whereas, you know, when he played PGA, even a regular PGA Tour event, he could count on having people, a gallery of just five deep, you know, around him. That just wasn't the case. And I think he's got to know deep down inside that he's not playing for, it's a made up event, a made up trophy. I mean, the team thing, we haven't even talked about that, but they're trying to get this people juiced up about, you know, team cliques versus team crushers versus the four aces. I mean, it's just sort of silly what they're trying to do to, you know, to make this look different than the PGA Tour. And you know, overall, I agree with you totally that he's really doesn't look like he's having a lot of fun at all.
Yeah. But by the way, he does have a pretty, I mean, that's a pretty fly, high flyers hat. And he has mocked at the very first press conference. He sort of mocked, you know, the long history of the high flyers. So he's still showing a little sense of humor, but I didn't get the sense that he looked like he was really enjoying himself. And final area of this, and I'm just curious because I wasn't there and you spent time out there this week. This became more so this week for obvious reasons than it had been. Although I think through social media, there is definitely a political element. But this became a political, I'm not even going to say, golf ball. This became a political golf ball this week for obvious reasons.
I mean, it was a MAGA rally. You know, Donald Trump was out there on the 16th hole in his, you know, in the clubhouse with Tucker Carlson and Marjorie Taylor Greene. So, yeah. I mean, you know, then it was a let's go Brandon chant for filling the course. It's sort of fascinating because days earlier, you know, families of the 9/11 victims who believe that Saudi Arabia were you know, financially backing the hijackers who killed their loved ones, had a very emotional press conference just 2 miles from the course. And, you know, I just wonder the juxtaposition of that and then seeing these people sort of celebrating, you know, Trump and having it at this course, and you know, it's just another one of these examples of things that people will overlook to, you know, to support the MAGA cause. And no matter where your politics are, it just seems like you would be certainly, if you live up here and you're a New Jersey person and you remember what happened in 9/11, that you certainly would want to distance yourself from even any hint of people who are involved in it. But yeah, that wasn't the case on Sunday over the weekend. And you're right, it was like a minor political rally out there.
That's really, for all the people who want us to separate the two, sports and politics,
when LeBron James wearing a right. "Can't breathe" T-shirt, but when it's they don't seem to care when it's chanting "Let's go Brandon" at a golf tournament. Yeah, that's a very good point. Absolutely.
And I'm okay. Yeah. I'm okay with the blurring of the lines. I just think that you can't separate the two. I mean, real quick. I mean, Bill Russell passed away yesterday, and there's the blurring of the lines with somebody who was an activist during his playing days. Jim Brown, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, there's always been. Sports is part of life, man. We can't separate everything.
Absolutely, it's been that way. It's been that way for 100 years. It's never going to change. There's no question. Yeah.
Steve Politi, one of the bright lights of Nutley High School. It's you. It's Martha Stewart. And then it might be me and your brother.
That might be it. That's the whole thing. That's the list. You got it.
Oh, man. I just love to point out the fact that I went to the same high school as Martha Stewart. Real quick as we wrap this up. I mean that. We don't have to like everything that athletes or sports figures say, think, whatever, support. But to do the stick to sports crap really means you simply don't like what they said. That's all it means. So I support you, whatever the stance is, I support your right to be a citizen. And that's all these people are. Real quick about the golf tournament. I could be wrong here. I do not believe you can be pro both tours. I've been talking about this on Twitter with some people. I don't believe there is a situation where you, yeah, I'm pro PGA Tour. Yeah, I'm pro LIV. Nah, man, you're not. Because those two entities cannot coexist together. They can't. Not in the same continent, they can't. And so if you're, and I'm not saying you can't be pro LIV. That is your right, and that's fine. But if you are pro LIV, then you are anti-PGA Tour. I just don't see how you, that's sort of like being a Duke and Carolina fan. Nope, ain't happening. You got to pick a side. And if you're pro LIV, you've picked a side, and that's okay.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.